You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get an inside look at the new Browns draft class by tuning in to the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight this Saturday at 7 p.m. on WKYC Channel 3. Dave Chudowski and I host that show, and it explores each player's unique journey to the NFL about becoming a Cleveland Brown. There are some unbelievable stories. Guys like Terrence West, Pierre Desir. You get to look at Johnny Manziel, Justin Gilbert, Joel Bitonio, the whole rookie class as well, Christian Kurtze. So don't miss it. Tune in this Saturday at 7 p.m. on WKYC Channel 3. And for those of you not in the Cleveland area, I've been told that the show will stream on ClevelandBrowns.com after it airs live. So look for that sometime after the airing that evening. Saturday night should be up on the website.
Can't wait. I think it's going to be great.
It is good. Yeah. I've gotten to see some of the pieces. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. Some of the stuff is going to really floor you when you see the journey some of these guys have taken to the NFL. And you'll also, I think, come away with the impression that not only did the Browns hopefully get great football players, they certainly got some great guys off the field. Joined now on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline by Scott Petrek from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Scott, yesterday, OTA, open to the media. Overall, your impressions of what you saw?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that, you know, we were able to watch the whole thing, which is nice. And you saw the first time we've seen a whole Mike Pettine practice. You know, it doesn't most practices look alike, but they did a lot of 11-on-11, it seemed to me. It was nice to see Brian Hoyer do a little bit in the team drills. And then you got your first look at Johnny. And then, you know, Josh Gordon is still practicing and just kind of reminds you how good he is.
He made a bunch of plays. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Scott, what were the early impressions you had of John football?
You know what? He looked like a rookie, and I know Coach said that yesterday after practice. To me, he seemed like he wanted to get the ball out of his hands in a hurry, especially in the team drills I'm talking about. And he wanted to go with his first read, and when that was covered, then he kind of struggled to find that second read. He kind of bounced around in the pocket and looked to escape a little bit and was more unsure. I think he knew where the first read was, but going to that second one is an adjustment for any rookie. You know, he did get outside the pocket a couple times and made completions. So, you know, he didn't look ready to be a starting quarterback to me. I mean, he's only one practice. He's been here only a week and a half. But those are the impressions. And, you know, and I think we're safe forever, and I'm not saying that it's going to affect, it's going to keep him from being successful. But he does look small out there, you know. And now I've seen him twice on the field live, and he just looks small when you compare him to a lot of the other guys in the NFL.
He does, but certainly some things to like, the arm strength. What did you think, though? I thought Brian Hoyer physically looked very good coming off the ACL. Obviously threw an interception on his first pass, but his last one was a 56-yard rope down the line to Vernon for a touchdown on the post.
Yeah, you know what? He looks good moving around, and he has for – maybe a month now, I've seen him running around, and he looks good. He's still wearing that brace, which he said that's the only reminder he has that his knee was operated on in October, is that every once in a while the brace will slide on him. But he made that real good throw you talked about on the post. I saw him in receiver versus corner drills, and he dropped a perfect fly over the shoulder down the left sideline. So he did look good running around, and I tell you, they got four quarterbacks out there, and Brian Hoyer doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but I think he might throw better than the other three guys. And I know he's a veteran, and maybe that's what you expect. But for a guy that when he came into camp last year, I thought, I'm not sure how well this guy throws it. I think he has gotten better throwing the ball, and I think he might have the best arm on that team.
Yeah, and I think it's less about strength, as you were just suggesting there, and more about throwing technique, right? I think he's evolved a little bit. His ball comes out a little differently. I thought his decision-making and quickness, we knew that last year, but it's even more pronounced now the way the ball comes out of his hands.
Stronger.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, I think he mentioned it a month ago that his rehab had something to do with it, right? The guy's been in the weight room nonstop since he was allowed to start rehabbing that knee. And when you can't run, you concentrate on your upper body. And he's never been a guy that's a huge guy. You know, I think if you saw him walking around, he looks like an average guy. But I think he has gotten stronger. And that was one of the things last year, you know, people complain that, oh, how was he third on the depth chart? Well, not only did he get here after Jason Campbell had, and Brandon Wheaton obviously had been here, but Brian did not have, to me at least, a great training camp. He didn't have a bunch of, enough reps, right? So there's nothing that jumped out at me and said, this guy is going to be successful as a starting quarterback. And then obviously he was when he got in there, and I think he just continues to get better.
Yeah, he certainly – I was very impressed. Again, that throw 56 yards in the air looked effortless, and I think the ball's coming out of his hand a little bit better. It certainly does look good from Brian Hoyer, and maybe this time off has helped him. He's improved his technique, his strength, but the ball coming out a little bit better. Other rookies, Terrence West, Joel Bitonio, Justin Gilbert, Christian Kirksey, etc., Pierre Desir, your thoughts on them and what you saw yesterday.
Yeah, you know, Bitonio, obviously the front office and the coaches love him. He was with the starters, the only rookie with the first team. Part of that could be because Paul McQuiston was at the White House, but obviously I think the coaches and the front office expect Bitonio to be starting at guard this year, and that's what you want from a second-round draft pick, number 35 at guard. Kirksey was bigger than I thought he'd be. I knew he could run, and, you know, that's one of the things he's supposed to be able to cover, which you need, and you need those nickel packages from your linebackers, but he's bigger than I thought. Justin Gilbert, you know, he can turn and run with anybody, and that's what you want out of a top-10 pick. And Terrence West, man, that guy looks like he can deliver a blow. And I'm not sure we're going to see all that he can do in training camp because you can't run through guys and there's no tackling. But I'm looking forward to seeing him in the preseason because I think he's going to break some tackles out there, and that's what, you know, that's what he does best. Not only is he a little shifty, but he's the kind of guy that's going to break some tackles.
Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram covers the Browns, joining us here as he regularly does on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Scott, talking a little bit about this offense, let's shift to the defensive side. And I think it's been clear the defense has been ahead. This is pretty typical, ahead of the offense in practices, making more plays. If you don't see interceptions, which you are seeing, you'll see some tip balls. You'll see some tighter coverage. You'll see some no room to run for people just because those gaps are being filled. What are some of the early impressions of what we expect this team to have as its signature, the Mike Pettine scheme?
Yeah, well, to me, it's going to come down to that pass rush, and Mike Pettine's not shy about it. That he said yesterday, we're going to rotate these guys, we're going to get a lead, and then we're going to go get the quarterback in the fourth quarter. And if they're able to do that, then this team has a chance to win games. We saw how close they were a number of times last year in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't hold leads. They couldn't score that pivotal touchdown, almost except when Brian Hoyer was playing quarterback. So, you know, I saw Barkevius Mingo come off the right edge yesterday and blow by. It was Reed Fregel, and he blew by him first sack. What would have been a sack, obviously the play keeps going because it's practice. And then Mingo looped all the way around. There was a loose ball, like a fumble or it got knocked away, and he picks it up 30 yards down the field. So that's the kind of athleticism that we've known he's had. But if he can, you know, if he can come up with two or three pass rushes a game where he either gets a sack or forces an early throw, I mean, that's what you're looking at. You know, that's what you're hoping to get out of him. And then you combine that with Paul Kruger and Jabal Sheard, who I think are steady guys. And with Mike Pettine's scheme and Jim O'Neill's scheme, I think the Browns are going to have a much better chance of getting that key pressures and nonstop pressure. You know, last year it was hit or miss. They'd have games where they got a bunch of pressure and then it disappeared for a couple games. And I think you're going to see it relentlessly this year.
Yeah, I think at times it was almost gimmicky pressure, and if teams were able to catch up to the gimmick, they couldn't generate pressure. I agree with you. That's something I've seen from this defense as well. Wide receiver, you talked about seeing Josh Gordon out there, and he just looks absolutely incredible and still looks good. It's good to see him playing as hard as he is with this uncertainty. But of the other guys that were out there, who stood out to you yesterday, Scott?
You know, Andrew Hawkins, and Brian Hoyer mentioned it afterward, compared him to Wes Walker, who he spent so much time with in New England. The first couple practices we saw in the offseason, you know, it's amazing how small and quick Hawkins is. You know, I mean, compared to all those other guys out there. But he dropped a few balls early in the first practices that I was paying attention to. Yesterday, he caught everything that I saw thrown to him, got open consistently, caught balls from Hoyer and Johnny. So I think he's going to, with the uncertainty of Josh, I think Hawkins is going to have to play a big role in this offense, and he looks like he's off to a good start being able to do it. Earl Bennett, you know, he's not the fastest guy in the world. He's a veteran, but I think he can get open and be one of those reliable kind of guys, a third down target. And then, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Miles Austin. He did not do anything yesterday. He kind of watched practice, and then he worked out afterward as the Browns are easing him back into it. But if he isn't bothered by those hamstring issues that hurt him last year, I think he has a chance to be real productive. And we've seen the numbers, and it's not that long ago where he had big-time numbers and a big-time offense. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, hopefully, in mandatory minicamp.
Scott, at least on a national scale, it seems that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine, and I guess Jimmy Haslam as well, are all taking a certain amount of criticism for the, quote, mishandling of Manziel mania, that they seem to have gone too far over the top to kind of tam it down, to keep him in his place. This is what the perception is, and you're probably hearing the same thing I am, and I watched almost a 10-minute segment on this subject on First Take on ESPN2 today, and it just struck me that there's this real vitriol and criticism that Johnny Manziel might very well be in the wrong place because of how they're mishandling him. But your sense of how this is coming up, you know, how this has been handled, number one, and number two, how Johnny Manziel is reacting.
Yeah, well, I think Johnny's handled it well. You know, we've only talked to him the two times, the day after the draft and then last week. I think he said all the right things, and I do believe he's a competitor and that he and Hoyer are going to go back and forth, and each give it their best, and it'll bring out the best in both of them. You know, guys will show up early to work and stay later, and, you know, if you screw up, there's a guy capable behind you or in front of you ready to take over. So I think Johnny's handled it well. As far as how the Browns are handling it, I don't have any issues with it. I think for a number of reasons. One, I believe there's a sense of entitlement. At least people outside the building feel that in the past, some Browns players, some rookies have come in and felt a sense of entitlement, that there was nobody on the team that could keep them from starting. The job was guaranteed, and therefore they didn't have to work as hard, and the job was almost handed to them. Well, I think Mike Pettine is drawing a line in the sand and said that's not going to happen. Justin Gilbert was running with the twos yesterday. Johnny Manziel was behind Tyler Thigpen in the drills if Brian Hoyer wasn't out there. So I think that they don't want that. I think that issues with Johnny Manziel have been real. You know, he was considered a spoiled guy just a year ago. That was only a year ago when that big ESPN article came out. So I think it'd be foolish to pretend that this guy is a grown-up veteran guy. He's 21 years old with a quote-unquote checkered past. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, you know what, we need you to check that ego at the door and show that you can lead grown men, grown veterans, in a season that we being a team, expect to win games, right? The Browns they're obviously trying to win now. They got guys like Joe Thomas. They got Pro Bowlers, Joe Hayden. There's enough talent on this team to take a step, and you can't have an immature rookie and just say, okay, it's your job. Not to mention the third aspect is Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer is a capable starter, I believe, and I think the Browns believe, in this league, and you can't dismiss that for a guy that has shown absolutely nothing in the league. So, therefore, I don't have any problem with how the Browns have handled it, and I think Mike Pettine is right when he says, we embrace all that Johnny brings. We just want him to prove that he's Johnny football at the NFL level.
Exactly. That's what they're doing. Scott, great insights as always. Appreciate you stopping by.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Scott Petrick. We're going to stay on the Ohio Business Machines hotline now and bring in the team's long snapper, Christian Yount, who joins us to update us on a great thing that they did yesterday and with 25 active military members of the USO as part of the team's salute to service. Christian, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Talk a little bit about yesterday's event where you guys were with, as I said, 25 active military members of the USO of Northern Ohio, some American Gold Star families, and giving back to those who serve our country so selflessly.
Yeah, yesterday was great. We got a chance to go to the local armory for the Ohio National Guard, and we made some flower arrangements that they're going to take down to, I think, a memorial close by and just kind of pay respects to those that have given their life for our country, that have served and paid the ultimate sacrifice. So it was awesome. We got to go get a chance to visit with some of the active military members and then some of the families as well. And it was fun, you know, that we got to make the flower arrangements, you know, show our support for this coming up Monday on Memorial Day. And it was a good time.
That's great stuff and classy work. John Hughes was with you, Jabal Sheard, Jamora Slaughter, Martin Wallace. So a nice turnout of Browns players at this event. So let me ask you this, Christian, because so much of every bit of focus, and I know you're used to this by now, but we've been spending most of the show, all right, the quarterback thing and how these receivers look and look at those running backs and on and on and on, and even and on the defensive side, no one's been asking about, what about the special teams guys? What about those snaps? What about those long snaps? How accurate has Christian Yount been on those snaps? So give us an update,
well,
though.
A given. He's glorious.
From your world, from that special teams world at this OTA stage, walk us through the kinds of things that you guys are doing during this time period.
Well, you know, we're just Billy Spencer and I. We're back together this year, and we're excited to be working together again. And it's good to be back with the whole gang and have Coach Tabor back with us again. So that's all exciting. We got a bunch of new guys in the special teams room that are going to help us out, and it's going to be a lot of fun this year. So, you know, I think it's just fun back to be to get back to football. You know, the whole off season, you know, we're still working on snapping and kicking and things like that, but it's fun getting in team drills and kind of hitting guys and having, you know, protection schemes and having to think that way again. So we're all excited. You know, Coach Tabor is doing a great job, as he did last year, getting us ready for this upcoming year and trying to improve on the things that we need to improve upon from last year. So it's going to be fun. Hopefully we can get some of the new guys and rookies dialed in here the way we do things, the Cleveland special teams room. And, yeah, it's fun. It's going to be exciting.
You do have some continuity as your coordinator, special teams coordinator, Chris Tabor, stayed on, so that was good. But it is a new era now with Mike Pettine. Your impressions of the first-time head coach and the differences you see or feel, or none, if there aren't any, from how things were done perhaps previously?
You know, in the special teams world, I think we're just going to continue to kind of have the same attitude and goal that we've had all along, is just to be, you know, to be one of the top special teams groups in the nation. So I know Coach, you know, he's always over there watching. I saw him yesterday right behind Spencer on punt, so that was kind of fun to see him back there watching. But, you know, I know he puts emphasis on it, and I know he knows it's important. And, you know, we're just going to work as hard as we can during the offseason to get better and to be the best.
Browns long snapper Christian Yount joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Christian, what you do, it's obviously a repetitive thing, a lot of muscle memory involved. It's pretty much stay snap after snap in one form, in one way that's consistent because it works and it's worked for you. But that's easier said than done, obviously. So are there some things you try to do or change up in any way from a mental gymnastics standpoint to kind of keep yourself focused on that? What do you do through a whole off season and then now into this time of year to get yourself, you know, to dialed in as you always are?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, for people outside kind of looking at him, the snap's always going to look the same. I mean, there's, you know, all the snappers in the league, that snaps, you know, the goal is to make it look the same and to where you don't really notice what's going on. It just kind of happens and you don't really know how it happens or why it happens, but the ball's there and the kick gets off. So that's our goal. But, you know, mentally, I'm just, you know, you're playing with different swing thoughts and different things to pre-snap reads. We're watching a lot of film, changing things and maybe a little bit more velocity or accuracy on the ball to make Spencer and Billy's job easier for them. So I'm just, you know, I'm just working, trying to get better every day. There's just so many little things that you can improve upon every day, and that goes from the snapping all the way down to protection and trying to help out my punt team to where we don't, you know, have protection, you know, any gaps in the protection. And, you know, working with the PPs and the guards and trying to get back into that and make sure that we're dialed in for the season. Because, you know, the snap can be great, but if we miss a protection call or we go the wrong way or we screw up in that sense, it doesn't really matter how good the snap is because the punt can still get blocked. So that's kind of another important part of it that it doesn't really take a toll on your body. So, you know, I can watch tons and tons of film and, you know, it's not like I'm going to get tired from watching film. So we do a lot of that during the offseason, kind of reflecting on what happened last year and see where there's areas we can improve upon and get better this year.
And rule number one, you never give them a lace, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, Spencer and I are working hard on that. So Billy just sees the ball there and just kicks it and makes all the field goals we can.
This is at Finkel. Lace is out.
Lace is out.
That's right.
Exactly.
But that's the art. That's the art of the skill. That cannot be diminished. The spins, the rotations, right? He's got this down to where he's putting it in a way. You don't want that holder to have to spin the ball around to put the laces in the opposite direction. And I'm sure you hear from the holder when that happens. Spencer's probably not too happy with you if that ever happens.
Yeah, I think it's more Billy. Spencer does a great job for me. You know, if something happens and we do miss laces, you know, snapping and kicking in Cleveland, it's, you know, it's always fun because you always got wind, you got rain, you got the field, you know, my foot's sinking down to where I can't see my socks anymore. So it's always something fun to deal with out there. So that's what makes football cool, and that's what makes our job cool, is that when we do succeed and get those perfect laces out and Billy makes a kick, that it's a great feeling. So we're going to try to duplicate that this year and, yeah, have fun.
Christian, as somebody who's had some tenure here now, the team has brought in some veterans from other teams, also the influx of the rookies in there. What's the locker room dynamic like this season? Is it any different than in years past, in your opinion? And obviously, how do you think Johnny Football is fitting in, since that's the story that everybody wants to talk about?
I think everybody's fitting in really well. I mean, I think it's a little too early to see exactly what the dynamic is. I think everybody's just really excited with all the talent that we're bringing in, with a mix of rookies. I mean, super talented rookies and also super talented vets that, a lot of the spotlight kind of gets missed with some of the older guys coming in. They're going to really contribute. I know it's special teams. That's kind of all I can speak for, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Those older guys are going to lend some knowledge that they've gained, from over, the past years and their past experiences. I think that's what's best about, a lot of guys just sitting around the locker room just asking questions. I've only been in the league 4 years, but I love being able to give younger guys kind of just like little tidbits about that can help them get better and help our team get better. So that's one of the things that I like. And I know a lot of the other vets that are coming in from different teams are doing the same and helping these rookies out, because there's really, I mean, as a rookie, there's just so much that you don't know. And it's not their fault. It's just things that we've gained from being in the league, those little things that you would have no idea how much of a big difference they can make, whether it's showing up a little early or doing extra film work when you get home or anything like that. We're just trying to help everybody on the team get better.
Christian Yount, Browns long snapper, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What feels different to you about this setting? And again, unfortunately, you've been through coaching transitions already with the Browns, and each one I know has its kind of own thing, its own signature. What's different about what Mike Pettine and this coaching staff, even though your position coach is the same, the feel that you get around the atmosphere and environment of the team?
I think just the intensity and level of competition is just so much, it's heightened this year, and it's exciting. There's a lot of guys, a lot of really, really good players in here that everybody's kind of pushing each other, trying to get to that one, the same goal. So that's awesome. And it's just an intensity, whether it's from the weight room to the field, like guys are, we're ready to play some football. So it's cool that the coaching staff, everybody's on board, and all the players are on board, and we're all moving towards the same goal. But that intensity it's fun to be around, and it's fun to see on this team.
It is fun to see, and I think it's palpable when you're just watching practice out there, the intensity. I want to go back to something you talked about, the film study for the young players, even for yourself in what you're doing in your role as the long snapper of this team. Is that one of the biggest adjustments you find for young players coming into the league, just the level, the intensity, the amount of film study and the importance of film study on these players that they maybe didn't see at that level in college?
Well, I just know, I mean, for me personally, when I was in college, I watched a lot of film on myself, and I'd always watch games, but I never really watched as much other teams and other players, and didn't do as much, pregame study and during the offseason and things like that. So now what's happened is I know that the more just kind of times I can see a different rush or a different look or look at a returner and how he moves and stuff like that, the better I'm going to be on game day. So it's one of the things that I really enjoy. It's, there's not a lot I can gain from going home and watching TV, but sitting there and watching film, you're still watching something. Why not make it film? So it's something I enjoy. It's something that's fun to where when you kind of discover something, almost like it's like a hidden gem. It's like,
Yeah. Oh,
that's why that happened on that play. So next time when I go out there and I look at, someone's eyes or something like that, I can see what the rush is going to be, and I can better block it so we don't get one blocked and we can get out and return. So it's one of the things that I've just, from personal experience, I've realized how much it's helped me. So I kind of keep adding on to it and keep going on with my film study habits. So, but yeah, I'd say that's one of the biggest things that changed for me, is how much I, from college to the pros, how much I watch film now and how much I enjoy it.
Christian, absolute delight having you here. We enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, we've got to
have you back more often.
Yeah.
Hey, anytime.
All right.
Cool. All right, bud.
Christian Yount, long snapper for the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to hear from the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, from what he said to the media yesterday. Going to get through those sound bites. And then at 2:15, fact or fiction. Nathan and I will play a little bit of that with our producer, Jason Gibbs. It's a Football Thursday. Join it with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.